that means that we're done with the news section this week. We're going to hop into Gear Up. All right. Thank you so much, Kyle. All right. We're going to go into Poke Lore.
Exactly. That about sums up this Gear Up. Anyways.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
A Spotlight Hour takes center stage in the upcoming month of October.
It's a bird! It's bacon! It's Ivantel, back in raids!
This week's Pokelore Pokemon really knows how to keep its guard up.
More than one Cosmaw, you say? Sounds more like a Cosmob. And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast. It's episode 209. It's October 1st. It's a Saturday afternoon? Afternoon. Weird to say that out loud. I'm your host, Chris, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing this? This is basically morning for the two of us. How are you doing this morning?
All right. It's going to have to not be morning for me eventually.
That's true. Yeah. Kyle here is making some big changes with his schedule at work. And so he's going to be not the night owl he used to be. More like you kind of will be a night owl because you'll be up before the sun is up.
I don't like to hear those words.
Anyway, that's a bridge for us to cross another day. But before we get started here, a shout out to three brand new patrons of ours. Shout out to John, Tyler, and Tommy. Thank you so much for your patronage. We appreciate you so very, very much. We hope that you're enjoying the Discord if you've jumped in to do that. Okay, so Kyle, you and I set some goals last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious to see how they went. Now I can already tell you, and I'm going to be very honest, this past week was not a good week in Pokemon Go for me. I did not play nearly as much as I normally do, even when there's nothing going on. I just didn't this week. It just didn't happen. I don't think I've been able to say that for a while. What about you, Kyle? Did you play a lot this week or no?
No, not especially. Honestly, not as much as I wanted to with like Marini coming out and wanting to get a lot of them. That's about it. I didn't play a super ton amount.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, maybe this will just be mutually sad for us then. All right. So well, your first goal was to set up some sort of tag system.
I did it. They're not extensive as has been shared in the Discord. I believe it was last night, but yep. I did made raid team tags. I have some shadow tags and PvP tags just for generic and stuff like that. So there's some there. It's a work in progress now.
All right. Well, good job. Did you get your storage below 4K?
I did. I'm at 39.92 right now.
Oh my gosh, dude. Wow. Okay. All right. I can tell you right now, you've already won this week, by the way. 500,000 experience.
No.
Okay. 100 hearts for Gengar.
No, I totally forgot. Okay. I was going to be working on Gengar.
And did you get that Klefki this week?
I did get my Klefki this week.
Woo!
I have Klefki. I never have to worry about it again. Its IVs are terrible.
All right. 3 out of 5. Nice job. That's over the 50% mark. That's good for us here. For myself, I wanted to get my Pokemon storage to under 5,000. I did actually get rid of all my Roggenrola finally, but I'm not anywhere near that number. Did not happen. Best Buddy Dialga. That did happen. Very happy about that. 1 million experience. Sadly, no. I got about halfway to that, unfortunately. 25 kilometers walked. Actually, let me check. But the next one, restock Pokeballs. That happened, but just for regular Pokeballs. For some reason, I'm not getting the Great Balls and Ultra Balls that I'm used to seeing, to be super honest with you. I don't know if I've just never noticed it before, or if now that I'm looking for it, I'm noticing how bad the drop rate is. But yeah,
I think it's a little bit of both. I found within the last, I want to say 6 months, most of my Ultra and Great Balls have come from opening gifts.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I need to start opening more gifts. And the 7 kilometer egg pool for this week has been good. I did hatch a fair amount of eggs, but No, it hasn't been good for Pokeballs for me. But the 25 kilometer goal I did not get. So I've gotten, I think this is really 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5 for me. So good for you, Kyle. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, let's move quickly past that sadness. And why don't we actually just hop right into the news? That sounds good. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, so this is going to be kind of different from what we normally do. October, well, content updates in general, monthly updates. This month for October, it's October 1st, by the way. Happy Halloween month. It's one of the best months ever. The October content update was not shared in the traditional blog post long form. Instead, they went the route of making just an infographic that is not posted on PokemonGoLive.com. It's only shared on socials. And so we're going to be discussing this in a weird sort of way, I think. So if you're like, this seems strange, it is. It is strange. So for October, the content update, this is going to be in all sorts of weird orders. Just basically,
yeah, it's not the order you're used to seeing.
It's not. Okay, so in 5-star raids from September 27th to the 8th of October, you're already seeing him, the man, the myth, the legend, the I have bacon for arms, it's Yveltal. And then from the 8th to the 20th, you're going to see Xerneas coming back, and those can both be shiny if you weren't aware already. And Giratine, from the 20th to the 27th, and Giratine, from the 27th to November 8th. And both of those can be shiny, but that's not new. They've been shiny. Yay! In Mega Raids, from the 27th to the 8th, you're seeing Mega Lopunny. From the 8th to 20th, you're seeing Manectric. And there's a question mark from the 20th to November 8th. I'm not sure what that's going to be. Obviously, hopefully, a new Mega. That'd be pretty cool. Raid hours are every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time. October 5th is Yveltal. That's going to be this upcoming Wednesday. October 12th is Xerneas. October 19th is also Xerneas. October 26th is Giratine. So get out there and grab your Giratine with legs. Events. Look at this list of events here. The Evolving Stars event, which we'll talk about after we finish this overview, is from the 5th to the 11th. Mega Gyarados Day is on the 8th of October. Very interesting. A raid day for a Mega Gyarados. Cool.
I'll do one.
I don't know. But there's bonuses and stuff. We'll get to in a second here. October 14th through the 17th is the Festival of Life, the Festival of Lights event. October 15th is October Community Day. Do not miss it. It is Litwick. I will call your parents and ask them where you are if you don't show up. It's important. You need to come out. October 20th through November 1st is the Halloween event. And if this is your first year with Pokemon Go, please know that Pokemon in general goes real hard for Halloween. So you can expect a good event. Let me just say that, right? We haven't been disappointed by Halloween before, right? Don't think so.
No, I think the biggest disappointment was only getting one Galarian mask last year, right? That's what happened.
Yeah, that was the thing from the research, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. There's also a live event, Safari Zone Taipei, which tickets are available for if you're interested in getting a ticket to that event. That's October 21st through the 23rd. Spotlight hours. Okay, here's where it gets kind of spicy in a weird, exciting way. October 4th. These are Tuesdays, by the way, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time. October 4th is Purloin with x2 XP for evolving Pokemon. We're going to skip over October 11th. It deserves to be last. October 18th is Mischievous, and that's 2x XP for catching. October 25th, 2x XP for evolving Pokemon. And it has a special mark. It says, bring your buddy Pokemon to witness something special at the beginning and end of this spotlight hour. That's the Shuppet one from October 25th. Huh. Interesting. I didn't notice that before. Hmm. But here's the real big, big deal. October 11th. It's Haunter, which is an evolved form, which means it's worth more Stardust. But not only that, the bonus for the day is 2x Stardust for catching Pokemon. So even more so. I believe, Kyle, you did the math before. Do you remember what that number was per catch?
Yeah, it's 750 per catch.
So yeah, that's a lot of Stardust. So, you know, that would be a good one for you to actually purposefully participate in. I know Kyle already told me once we got news of this that we were going to be recording at least 30 minutes late that day. And I concur.
So there's a couple of fun things about that one. It's not the best one we've ever had because we had Shroomish Spotlight Hour and a Meowth Spotlight Hour. So those are both boosted Stardust as well.
Yeah.
But this is an evolution. And some things about evolutions, it's a guaranteed XL candy for an evolution. That's a big deal because Gengar is still good. Mega Gengar is still very good.
And Ghastly Community was a long time ago.
Yeah, I still feel that one. I need to revisit. But with a level 3 Mega, you can get 2 or 3 XL candy from a catch on a Haunter for that day. So it's very good.
Good stuff. Yep. So it's an exciting day. Again, mark your calendars. All right. And the last thing is the research breakthrough for the month. This is actually kind of cool and exciting. I love this. They're bringing back Shedinja, but it's not only Shedinja. It can also be shiny. Oh, and you get an incense. That's the bonus. Yeah. But Shedinja is exciting because like we've mentioned before, you know, getting a Shedinja is only possible when they allow you to get one. Because you can't get it any other way, really. So cool. October is shaping up to look very good. It usually does. So a couple of gaps in there, I'm sure we'll cover those in future episodes. But let's talk about this next news item, which is our first event starting on the 5th, running through the 11th. It's the Evolving Stars event. Trainers, you can evolve and grow with your Pokemon in all kinds of ways in Pokemon Go, and it's time to celebrate that with a new event, Evolving Stars. The star of the event is Cosmoem, the protostar Pokemon, which will make its Pokemon Go debut. You can also look forward to field research, focus on evolution, and a collection challenge that awards evolution items. And we're going to cover those details right here. So, again, when is it? It's from Wednesday, October 5th at 10 a.m. to Tuesday, October 11th at 8 p.m. local time. The Season of Light story unfolds. Continue to follow Cosmog's story throughout the Season of Light. A new part of the season-long special research will unlock during the Evolving Stars event. Complete it to take another step on your stellar adventure with Cosmog. Cosmoem will make its Pokemon Go debut. Trainers will be able to evolve Cosmog into Cosmoem by using 25 Cosmog candy. And don't worry about evolving your only Cosmog. Rumor has it that trainers will have the opportunity to encounter additional Cosmog in the distant future. What do they know that we don't know, besides everything? this is very clear. It's not a rumor for sure. You'll probably get another Cosmog, so don't worry about it, trainer. Mega Gyarados Raid Day is happening on Saturday. The reason that this is re-mentioned, by the way, is because it's nested in the event. So Mega Gyarados Raid Day is Saturday, October 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. local time. Some nighttime raiding. That's nice. Bonuses include Mega Gyarados will appear more frequently in raids. Well, I sure hope so. You can receive up to 5 additional raid passes by spinning photo discs at gyms. Reminder that those are premium raid passes, not remote, so you have to do it in person. You'll have an increased chance of encountering Shiny Gyarados. And if you aren't aware, Shiny Gyarados is like one of the most iconic Shinies of all time. It's red. It's beautiful. Everybody's seen it. Lake of Rage. All that good stuff. Some wild encounters. Yep, we're changing up the encounters in the wild. You're going to be seeing Kakuna, Pidgeotto. I'm going to go faster than this, but these are hilarious. Poliwhirl, Kadabra, Haunter, Rhyhorn, Seedra, Scyther, Eevee, Swinub, Ralts, Duskull, Tynamo, Litwick, and Helioptile. Now, I'm going to point out one here, and it's Litwick. This is an opportunity for you to maybe get some good IV spreads prior to Community Day. It's a good opportunity to catch as many as possible, not for the candy, because Community Day, you'll get more than enough, but more is always good. And it's good to, I guess, bolster your odds of getting a good IV spread by catching as many as possible prior. So just keep that in mind. Don't sleep on them because you're going to have a Community Day. You might regret it. All right. For raids, 1-star raids, Slowpoke, Onix, Scyther, Porygon, and Sunkern. Get that Sunkern out of my 1-star raids, please. 3-star raids, Magneton, Rhydon, Togetic, and Pillswine.
Man.
That's a weird spread.
These raids are awful.
It's because they're all Pokemon that use evolution items, and we've seen all these before.
it's none of them are interesting. Yeah. Like the most interesting one is Scyther. Rhydon, but Community Day move. So
Togetic for candy and stuff like that would be good.
From a raid? Okay, fair enough.
XL candy.
Yeah.
In 5-star raids, we're going to see Xerneas from October 8th through 20th and Yveltal before that from September 27th to October 8th. And in Mega Raids, as mentioned, you're going to see Lopunny first from the 27th to the 8th of October and Mega Manectric from October 8th through the 20th. And then after that's a question mark. What could it be?
It's probably just another Mega that we have, but they don't want to say it because it goes into November.
That would be disappointing. Please don't say that again. I need a little more optimism. I can't handle that sort of.
Oh, you want one Mega Binette?
Yeah.
For Halloween event? You know, we could do that. So cool. That's the only other ghost left, I think.
You think they'll go all in like that?
I said they should have done it last year, so I stand by it. But the problem is that there's no reason to use Mega Binette over Mega Gengar, so they have to like make a deal out of it. I feel
well, the Shuppet spotlight hour on the 25th is in that time period, so
yeah,
perhaps that's a sign. Who knows? Yeah, field research task rewards: complete field research to earn Stardust evolution items and Mega Energy. Evolving collection challenges will include get ready for 4 collection challenges focused on evolving Pokemon. Complete the challenges to receive evolution items. I don't know anybody that's hurting for evolution items, to be honest with you.
The people who are hurting for evolution items are the ones who are very new players.
Okay.
That's the real answer. It's if they just started around level 30, you're still looking to evolve your Scizor and your Steelix and stuff because your weekly thing is not working out for you.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. Also, just a little shout out for everybody. The 7-day stop streak gives you items like this. When you spin that last one, that stop for the 7 streak, you get special items. It's nice.
You can get those anytime. That's not.
You can. I'm just saying it's a guaranteed, I think. Is it still a guaranteed, like, better spread of items? I haven't paid attention all the time.
I think you're guaranteed one from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think you can get like a variety. I think you get one evolution item of the like 7 that are in the game.
Wow. Okay. Well, that thing does exist. Neither of us have paid attention enough to tell you any details, but there is a bonus for the 7-day streak.
Yeah.
All right. Evolution Cups, the last thing here, and that's going to be Pokemon must be at or below 1500 CP to enter, and only Pokemon that have evolved at least once and can evolve again will be eligible. So this is exclusively middle evolutions. Examples include Wartortle, Charmeleon, Ivysaur. But a example of a Pokemon that would not work would be Swellow.
Do you think babies count? So do you think Togepi would count for this?
Yes.
Not Togepi. I'm sorry. Togetic is what I meant.
Yes, I think it does. It's also featured in the raid pool. So that leads me to believe that yes. Yeah, that's interesting. Right. Because yeah, they don't say basic or first stage or second stage, which would differentiate that from having just evolved, because baby stages are different stages, right?
Yeah. So I think.
Look,
the problem is every game actually classifies it differently. I blame the TCG for this one.
Oh, yeah. First stage, second stage, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. No, but the verbiage they use is have evolved at least once and can evolve again. So I would assume that, yes, like Electabuzz would be good or all that sort of stuff. But that's it. That's it for this event. Now, Mr. Kyle, how do you feel about this event overall? To me personally, it's a little lackluster, I think.
Yeah, I think it's not good. I'm not going to say it's bad because I don't think it's bad. But there's nothing here that makes me want to play.
Yeah.
You unlock the ability to evolve Cosmog, which is not really an event feature. It just happens. It doesn't even say you have to earn it by doing like anything crazy, even though I'm sure it will tie into the story that's happening. It's just, I don't know. Also, distant future? Come on. We know Niantic. We know the Pokemon Company are specific with their words. I don't like that I don't like that distant future there.
Oh, yeah. The opportunity to encounter additional Cosmog in the distant future. And it says additional Cosmog, not an additional Cosmog.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
Do you think whenever Lunala and Solgaleo is in 5-star raids, they'll just put Cosmog in 1-star raids? But they can't because they use the same candy. They're in such a difficult position here now. What are they supposed to do? They can't make Cosmog easy to catch because then that's really cheap candy for Lunala and Solgaleo.
That's right. I didn't even consider that. Cosmoem, okay, here's also another interesting thing. Now, technically, right, Cosmoem evolves into Solgaleo or a Lunala, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're actually going to let us do that, or do you think they're going to lock it and then you have to raid for Solgaleo and Lunala? Because to me, that's much more interesting of a question.
They have to let you evolve it.
They have to. Why do
they
you
have to?
Why do you feel
and
that
you know way? Why I say have to?
I don't. I'm asking you why.
Because we're evolving Cosmog into Cosmoem right now.
So?
Which means the next story has got to be about Cosmoem becoming the legendary. Like, that's the whole story of Sun and Moon.
Yes. Yes.
Bare minimum, they have to let players do it once. But another way to handle it, maybe Cosmog is in 5-star raids.
Yo. Oh,
and it had like, hey, we'll balance it out. It has boosted candy. Maybe it gives double candy because you have to evolve it. And you get to pick which one it evolves into. Now, granted, that makes every Lunala and Solgaleo, you know, 125 candy. But you only have to evolve the ones with the IVs you want anyways.
This is kind of blowing my mind a little bit thinking about this, to be honest with you. Like, putting Cosmog in 5-star raids solves a lot of issues that we just thought of. Like, it pretty much solves the problem. But what it does is it could potentially create our first soloable 5-star raid.
You couldn't solo Bidoof when it was in 5-star raids.
Oh, you just weren't trying hard enough.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, mathematically, I think it had stats. Like,
I know you're right. I know you're right, but it's Bidoof.
But, I mean, they could just make it a 6-star raid. You know, they don't. Yeah. Doesn't have to follow all of the rules, but
I would love to see if they're going to give us the runaround where we're going to need to have more candy to even get it to the legendary form before we start the XL grind for that and powering it up. I would love to see it be an easily accessible 5-star raid like that. Like, you could solo it and grind it yourself if you really wanted to.
That said, attack Deoxys exists. So soloable legendaries are a thing. But
yeah. Yeah. But
this would be a bigger deal. Although,
in my brain, this is not because of stats. It's also like a design choice. Like, they're like, oh, this should be soloable because people need to grind it, right?
That'd be really interesting, which means Niantic won't do it. So anyways.
Gosh, man, I think that's the most speculation we've ever done. Wow.
I got all the ideas.
Here are all the problems. Like that picture of from Always Sunny with all the strings and the pictures on the wall. Oh my gosh, yeah. Okay, well, that's it for news. Exciting stuff happening, or maybe not.
We won't know for at least another month. We'll find out maybe in November.
Right. Yeah. And just to clarify again, it's not exciting because of the Evolving Stars event. It's the potential ramifications of the event are what's exciting.
So before we move on then about the event itself, sure. There's nothing that encourages you to play here. If there's not a Pokemon you want to chase, why would the average player keep playing for these 10 days or whatever it is?
Well, I will say that the wild encounters, while they are underwhelming, have a lot of evolved forms. So it's going to be good for Stardust.
Yeah. Like, that's okay. But anybody who's grinding Stardust is probably just going to grind whatever is there anyways.
It adds a lot, though. You know.
But the best way to get Stardust is to just catch. Doesn't matter what's in the wild. You know? Obviously, what's in the wild makes it better.
Yeah.
But they're also harder to catch. It'd be far more interesting if it was just a 2x Stardust bonus for the 6 days. And that's kind of, it's like, what's the chase here?
Yeah, I don't think there really is a chase. The chase is going to be potentially, if people are excited for Mega Gyarados Raid Day, I'm not entirely sure. Gyarados is a very popular Pokemon, right? Like a fan favorite.
I mean, that's fine, but it's not actually related to the event. It just happens at the same time.
No, it's just a powerful dark Pokemon so that we can use it for our upcoming psychic raids. right? We're assuming here. Oh, wait, no. Xerneas is going to be in raids. And then Ghost Raids. Ghost Raids. I'm thinking of...
You're thinking ahead to Lunala and Solgaleo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm
doing. We've already solved this problem.
I know. We're already in December. Let's go. Like, or November, rather. Oh, geez. Don't ask me to make a calendar. Apparently, I don't know my months. but, okay, yeah, I'm with you, too. The highlight that I pointed out was Litwick, if that's any indication of how I feel.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I was like, Chris is talking about Litwick. What are we doing here?
I mean, but that was a good point, though, right? I mean, was trying to find something to focus on in this.
It's event. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But Scytherin raids, let's go. Okay. That means that we're done with the news section this week. We're going to hop into Gear Up.
This week's Gear Up is about Xerneas.
Boo.
Yeah. I mean, okay, look, I like Xerneas's design.
It's a beautiful Pokemon.
It's a fairy monotype, and that says a lot when you talk about Pokemon Go. It's still bad from the last time we had it, because it doesn't get Fairy Wind. Like, it's not in its move pool for the main series games. They couldn't even do it if they wanted to.
The nerf, though, to add a quick fairy move that this Pokemon desperately needs, a quick fairy move.
Yeah. That said, we went over this the last time, or rather, I think the first time it was in raids. Xerneas doesn't get anything that makes sense as a fast move for fairy types. All of its fairy moves are either like terrain effects or nukes. So Xerneas just needs another good move that's not fairy, I guess, to make it better. That said, with the tackle changes that happened this season, right? That was a thing. They made tackle better.
Did they?
They did. They made tackle better. I don't remember.
Weezing got a buff.
They did. They made him better. I don't remember what they did off the top of my head, unfortunately. But it actually made Xerneas good. XL Xerneas is ranked quite highly in Master League. Now, I don't know if this is because of the changes or just because, you know, fairy type and stat lines have helped it a lot. Somebody else probably paid attention before the changes. So it has use if you play Master League, I guess. I saw some people arguing on Reddit about liking Master League. It was glorious.
I'm excited. Actually, this is going to be the first time I'm going to actually put some effort into Master League, because I'm still working on that research.
What are you going to use?
I have no idea yet.
Oh, it's going to be great. Can't wait to hear about it.
Mewtwo. Three Mewtwo's. You can't even.
A Mewtwo, a Melmetal, and a Machamp.
No, a Mewtwo, an armored Mewtwo, and a Mew.
No, they gotta be 50.
I could do that.
You do not have enough Mewtwo candy to make two level 50 Mewtwos.
You're right. I'm lying.
Don't even try.
I'm lying right now. Yeah. Oh, actually, can I admit to something really quick before we spool back up into Gear Up?
Okay.
Something awful has happened.
Oh no.
It's really bad. It actually made me so depressed I didn't play the game for 2 days. So the past weekend there was the special research for the Poyang, that Safari Zone, the one in South Korea.
Yeah, that was a thing, right?
Yep. And so in order to finish it, the timed research, you had to walk 5 kilometers total, and there were rewards for each kilometer along the way. Now, for a lot of people, it was like 2 days, and it happened in a weird time zone. So for a lot of people, you didn't get the opportunity to do all the walking, right? And I was like, it's a research. I need to do it. It's timed, right? I need it for my list. I did all 5 kilometers, and I caught the last spritzy, and I didn't hit claim reward for the overall thing. I forgot. I got distracted doing other stuff. And so while I know I finished it, it is not on my list, which is the thing that matters. So...
Oh.
I guess I don't care about that anymore.
I think that's the first one you missed. You missed another one, right?
I missed other ones that I wasn't able to get. They're like from other regions and stuff like that. Mm. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, we don't need to talk about that anymore then.
I forgot to share it up front. I should have made a note. It's depressing. It's tragic. But anyway, thank you for letting me derail for a second.
Back talking about Xerneas, though. Gonna go over some quick counters. For raids, we're not going to talk about Yveltal, because by the time this comes out, there's going to be like 3 days left of Yveltal raids or something like that.
Maybe.
Mono fairy type. That means steel and poison. That's what you got. And when you hear steel type, that means only one thing. It's time for Metagross with Meteor Mash. And that's about it. That's the end of the section. It's just Meteor Mash Metagross all the way down. But I know not everyone has six Meteor Mash Metagross. So here are some other options. Megas. Gengar, Beedrill, and Scizor. Gengar with Sludge Bomb and Beedrill with Double Poison. Scizor with Double Steel. They're all fine. Mega Gengar is the best one of the bunch. Obviously, even with Lick as the fast move, not being super effective, it's the best neutral counter. And it becomes the best behind Shadow Metagross with Tackle and Close Combat as the move set. So that's exciting.
That's interesting.
You got Dialga with Metal Claw and Iron Head.
My boy.
And just for fun, because there's not a whole lot of options against Mono Fairy type, Shadow Mewtwo is like the sixth best neutral counter. So
just generally speaking, in mind. That wasn't even like a special piece of information. That's just generally speaking, you should probably bring a Shadow Mewtwo.
For Chris, Genesect can be used.
That's right.
Metal Claw, Magnet Bomb.
Don't sleep on Genesect. He's very strong.
Not bug moves, though.
That's okay.
And last, the budget poison type, Roserade with Poison Jab and Sludge Bomb.
That's right.
It's fine. Just be aware, Zen Headbutt hurts those poison types pretty bad.
That's right. Yeah.
So pay attention to the auto recommendation on whether you bring the poison types or not. And with that said, this is a good chance to farm XL candy if you want to use one for Master League. Otherwise, it's only good to get a shiny and then move on. So you be the judge. I will probably do like
you two. Be the judge. You desire. I don't think I said it right, but I got the voice.
All four people will recognize that who are listening.
And all the four people that you've made listen to while we drove to the event, you mean, in Minneapolis.
So Xerneas, not great for PvE, good in PvP. Grind to your heart's content.
And we will. We shall.
Or don't, because the boxes are still really bad right now.
Oh, Kimmy.
And I'm not buying many raid passes.
Do we want to talk about those really quick?
Hang on. Did somebody ask about them later? I feel like they did.
Again. They might have. This is just an ongoing conversation that we're all just going to keep having.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think they did this week. So, the boxes are still bad.
Just really quick, an overview. Let's do it. Let's just do it, because we're going to do it eventually anyway. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So we have four boxes currently right now. There's a hatch box, a raid box, a great box, and an ultra box. Now, initially, upon opening the store, I was like, whoa, a hatch box? Did they listen to me? It's 499 coins. And guess what's in it? Five regular incubators.
Right?
Not super incubators. Regular ones. Now, let me remind you that a regular egg incubator goes for 150 coins. So you are getting a deal, but not much of a deal. You're saving 251 Pokecoins. The 499 is just why. Anyway, raid box for 699 Pokecoins is 50 Ultra Balls, which is actually not bad value for that. Two premium battle passes, one remote raid pass, and two Poffins. I think out of all of these boxes, the raid box is probably the most value driven, I think.
It's only the most value driven if you put value on Ultra Balls. To me, yeah. Ultra Balls are worth zero Pokecoins, so the value is really bad.
Oh, you know, hey, that's fair enough. But for somebody like me who sits on Ultra Balls and Great Balls and uses them only because my plus is Red Ball City, the 50 Ultra Balls mean something to me.
They do mean something,
but
they don't mean Pokecoins. They don't mean Pokecoins.
That's true.
And they're tricking you. They're deliberately tricking you to make you think that it has value.
Oh, jeez. Well, okay. Next up is Great Box for 1,400 Pokecoins. That's four super incubators. There they finally are. Four regular incubators, three remote raid passes, and 10 silver pineapple berries. Now, let me tell you why this is bad. Because if you want to buy multiples of this box to get incubators for some reason, it will stop you if you're maxed on remote raid passes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the last one. Ultra Box for 3,300 Pokecoins. That's a lot of Pokecoins. Yeah. For 5 premium battle passes, 15 super incubators, 10 regular incubators, and 5 Poffins. I'm not about it.
Expensive box.
I'm not about it. Now, the Pokecoin points, the Pokecoin tiers for purchasing are 2,500 Pokecoins is $20, and 5,200 Pokecoins is $40. So it's more than $20 for that one box. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy for me. Absolutely. Also, let me just say, and this is nobody's fault at all, but my free daily box the other day had 4 regular potions in it, and I almost threw up.
Is that worse than like 2 berries in a Pokeball?
No, to me, it's funny because it's like it's the worst roll I could have gotten.
Yeah, okay, I regular suppose.
Potions, like, what am I going to do with those? Anyway, okay. All right, everybody that wanted to get their free bingo space for today's episode, this week's episode, we talked about the boxes. There you go. And that wraps up Gear Up, even though that wasn't Gear Up that we just talked about. Let's move on to Pokelore. And this week for Pokelore, we're going to be talking about the newly debuted Marini and Toxapex, the Brutal Star Pokemon. Kyle's very excited for this. He loves Marini. Marini is a Pokemon with a purple stalk-like body and head. It has blue eyes and yellow pupils and sclera and 3 pointed teeth. The body consists of 2 sections. The top section is slightly smaller and overlaps the lower. On top of its head is a starfish-like collection of 10 tentacles. All of the tentacles reach the ground, except for the one directly in front, which is shorter and leaves its face exposed. Gotta make sure your bangs are trimmed, right? The tentacles are light blue and covered in purple spines. On top of its head is a purple area with a collection of spikes with a larger yellow spine in the center. Marini is able to regenerate any body part overnight, except its head. Little starfish stuff there, that's nice. Bruxish feeds on Marini, which in turn eats the branches of Corsola, except in Galar, where it has not yet learned about eating them.
What?
It's the ocean.
First off, it's the ocean. Also, that's like the description you'd use if there was a Galarian form of Marini, which there is not.
There is for Corsola, though.
Yeah. But they don't say that. They're not saying it's because of... It's not the same material.
Yeah, I suppose. Or, okay, so this is difficult. It says Bruxish feeds on Marini, which in turn eats the branches of Corsola, except in Galar, where it has not yet learned about eating them. So what's the main subject of the sentence? Like, what are we modifying with that sentence or with that statement at the end? Is it Bruxish, Marini, or Corsola?
They're definitely modifying Marini eats Corsola.
Okay.
Which is it's a strange statement because Galarian Corsola doesn't have any stalks. The stalks are made of like ethereal ghost energy type thing in its art. Right. So
maybe it can't learn to eat them because they're ghosts.
I don't think. Maybe.
I don't know. But anyway, it uses the spike on top of its head to poison its prey and uses its tentacles to either trap its prey or deal the final blow. In the anime, it has also been seen attaching itself with all of its tentacles and releasing poison through its spines. That sounds very metal, especially for the anime. Goodness me. Next up is Toxapex. Toxapex is a small Pokemon with large starfish-like legs sprouting from the top of its head. It has bright blue eyes with yellow sclera and pupils. The main part of its body, consisting of a small head with protrusions similar to starfish arms below it, is a purplish pink. Its head is dark blue on top, near where its legs connect. This part of its body is typically suspended in the air due to the length of its legs. The legs themselves are light blue on top and covered with spines and dark blue with purplish pink spines on the undersides. When the inner spikes are present, the outer spikes sink back into its legs and vice versa. The tip of each leg has 2 orange claws, and there is a ring of orange spines around a purplish-pink marking where all the legs meet on top. Toxapex uses its 12 legs to walk along the ocean floor, where it hunts for Corsola. They can also be used to create a dome-like shelter, protecting it from the tides and, in colder regions, trapping its body heat to keep it warm. Its spines can be fired at enemies and carry a powerful poison, which causes pain for 72 hours, or 3 days, thank you for clarifying that, even to a Pokemon as large as Wailord. Wow. That's huge. After effects of the venom remain even after recovery, if a foe bypasses its spines, it attacks with its claws instead, as I suppose most of us would. Stats for Toxapex, max CP at 40 is 1685, and at 50, 1905. Why is that so low? Well, 137 stamina, 114 attack. The big stat, though, is defense, 273. Big number. Big number. Best move set, and this is going to be for PvP. You're really not going to want to use this Pokemon for PvE. I mean, if you couldn't tell from the low CP. Best move set is Poison Jab with Brine and Sludge Wave. So that's two poison moves and a water move. So as Fish and DeFi, I believe, mentioned last week, if I'm remembering correctly, Toxapex is very good in GBL. Like real good. So make sure you catch some if the event is still live for you for Fashion Week. It probably is not. I hope you caught a bunch. They'll be good. Kyle, you want to say anything about Toxapex Marini before we move on? I know that they are your beloved, so.
I like them a lot. It's a great Pokemon. Also, if you tap it, if you haven't evolved one yet, you should evolve one. Because if you tap it, it like jumps in the air and shows you the top of its head and shoots spikes out.
Oh, that's cool.
It might be one of my favorite animations in Go right now. So, yeah, big love for Toxapex. Also, it is an extreme nuisance, apparently, in the main series games. So, big fun.
Why? Because it's so chunky in the poison?
Yeah, it just like, I think it burns the enemy and then heals, or poisons the enemy, I suppose, and then heals the entire time.
Yeah, it's, and you have to use psychic on it, because if you bring a ground type, the water is going to get you.
Yeah, well, I think you also just like, it just switches out and then comes back in late.
Yeah.
I think it uses haze as well, the clear stat changes.
Oh
so
my gosh. Wow.
It's an annoyance.
What a Pokemon. Very exciting, cool Pokemon with a neat design. Again, it's a starfish. Is there a type of starfish that eats coral in real life?
I don't know. There's no trivia on... hang on. Toxapex may be based on the Crown of Thorns starfish. It sort of looks like Marini.
Oh, normally the starfish contribute to the reef's diversity by eating faster-growing coral species, which allow for slower-growing species to thrive. But at outbreak levels, the starfish are able to eat coral, a polyp that builds the limestone reefs on which the community live, faster than the coral can reproduce.
And fun fact, apparently, if a Marini shows up in an SOS battle called by a Corsola, it will attack the Corsola instead of the player's Pokemon.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty wild. I didn't know.
Also, S tier shiny when it comes out.
Bingo.
Yeah. It is so good.
It's got great coloration as is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big fan.
All right, but that's the Poke lore for the week. That means that we're now into Poke Poll.
Last week's Poke Poll was, what would you say is your greatest skill in Pokemon Go? What part of the game are you just good at compared to the rest? First one is from Modders, and he said, spending money on it. Pretty good at that.
My man. Let's go.
Shadow Prime said, getting shinies I already have. Looking for the shiny that just dropped? Take five more shiny Natu.
This is Bronzor for me. I feel that.
Bronzor. Oh my God. That's why I don't click on Aerons anymore.
Did you make it through that Test Your Metal event without a
shiny
Aeron?
Yeah, I only checked/caught maybe 10 Aeron that whole time. I'm just like, no. I did a couple of Aggron, but...
Okay, yeah. I was going to laugh if... Well, if you get a shiny Aggron, it's different, you know?
I've never evolved an Aeron, so I think it counts.
Oh! Amazing.
Well, no, I've never evolved a shiny Aeron. Let's be clear with that statement.
Do you have a... So you don't even have a shiny Laron?
No. I have six... shiny Aeron.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I think only one of those has been caught at a boosted rate. Maybe two of them. So
I think at two separate Go Fests they were boosted.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was I was going to laugh if you avoided them the entire event. And then the one that was the encounter for the research was shiny. That would have been too funny.
No.
Anyway, good response, Shadow Prime. Very, very relatable.
Next one's from Sparky2. They said, XP farming. I got to level 40 just in time for the medal in December 2020. And I got to 50 last community day. So for someone who isn't spending a lot, I feel like this is pretty good. Lots of friendships and gifting and good quality throws. Oh, and as previously mentioned, using stickers. They then attached an image of no stickers to send screen in the gifting menu. So that's pretty impressive.
That is too. Impressive.
I don't want to talk about how many stickers I have. So
I have a lot of stickers and I use them, but I only use the ones I have a lot of.
I only use the ones that will get replenished. So I basically never use the limited time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird thing because it's like they've made us all sticker collectors, whether or not we wanted to be.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So next one's from Walrain 1106. They said, I'm pretty decent at opening the shop, scrolling to the bottom and buying 14,500 coins at a clip.
Woo.
I also think I'm decent at spending those coins. As long as they're not on super incubators for 2K eggs, you're fine. My second biggest skill is patience regarding waiting in line for raids on Pokégenie.
Oh, boy.
For those who weren't paying attention, the line for Celesteela in Pokégenie was like 100,000 long the entire time it was in raids.
Yeah.
It was a problem.
Yep. A friend of the show, Terry Wolf, sent myself and Ken Pescator of Lured Up a text about he was waiting in queue for a Celesteela for like it was 2 or 3 days, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, why are you even bothering?
Could you imagine waiting and then not catching it?
Oh my gosh. I'd all
like, could you just imagine you like you go 14 excellent throws in a row and you're like having heart palpitations?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. We got interrupted. There's more to the Pokeball answer. Jokes aside, I actually feel like I'm really decent at firing off the most charge attacks and raids. Maybe it's the Dark Souls player in me, but I've gotten really good at timing dodges frames perfect at raid boss charge moves. Cheers. That's pretty good. That's a good thing to brag about, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a janky system. So if you can get the feel for it, you can consistently dodge and stuff like that. That's rather impressive.
Especially if you get to doing it with like a really squishy Pokemon, like a Chandelure or a Gengar or something, makes it all the better that you can do it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Next response from Starman in the form of an email. Hello, GoCast. Though I'm now part of the Discord, I felt I should continue sending in my Pokepull via email. Once you have a gimmick, you need to stick to it, right?
True. Kit Kats.
Anyway, when it comes to my skill in Pokemon, I kind of carry the same skill from game to game, whether it's Pokemon Go, the VGS, or the TCG. I find I'm really good at memorizing Pokemon and their typing. No matter how obscure the Pokemon or how forgettable they are, I can remember virtually every Pokemon and their typing pretty quickly. By extension, I'm pretty competent at immediately figuring out what type would be best to use against them. For example, always use a fire type against a fairy steel Pokemon. Always use a ground type against an electric steel Pokemon, etc. I guess I can sum up by saying I'm really good at rock, paper, scissors.
Nice.
Best Starman. Well, now, wait, hang on. Fairy steel. Who's fairy steel?
Who is fairy steel?
Yeah, what's a fairy steel Pokemon?
Klefki.
Is Klefki steel? I thought it was just fairy.
Oh, you know what? Now I don't know. Now,
nah, I don't.
It's steel fairy. I'll have you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, so there you
so,
go.
So
okay,
we still well, don't have fairy a fairy steel. It's still not fairy steel. That's right.
I feel like there's a legendary or something we're not thinking of. Oh my god. Oh my god, there is. Zacian is fairy.
Oh jeez. Oh, okay. That is actually relevant. There's a most recent. Yeah, that's.
I knew it was a legendary. Oh man. Anyways. Thanks for the response. It's a good skill to have. Neither of us have it.
No, not at all. So half fairy type Pokemon, primary fairy type Pokemon. So, okay, dual type. Let me restart that word mush. There are. Kyle just got a shiny Yveltal. I'm very, very happy for him. Nice. Okay, there are there are five Pokemon that are dual type and primary fairy. Four of them are fairy flying, and one of them is fairy steel.
I want to add, though, two of those four are the same Pokemon in two different forms. So,
and arguably the other two Pokemon are also the same Pokemon, just it's evolved. It's Togetic, Togekiss, Enamorous, and Enamorous again. Therian and Incarnate forms. That's so funny.
It's funny.
Huh. Anyway, oh, sorry. Sorry again. Wow, this is just a show of tangents this week, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. We got one more response. And it's from Drew 2, also in the form of an email. They said, "Hi, Chris and Kyle. I'm so glad you asked about our greatest skills in Pokemon Go because I have several very unique talents and it will give me a chance to brag about them."
All right.
First, I have the incredible ability to trade other people 100% IV Pokemon. I can't even begin to count the number of times I have done a trade and the other person gets a hundo, often without it being a lucky trade. They're often very useful Pokemon too. Swampert, Dialga, Reshiram, etc. Just yesterday, I traded my son a Beldum and it came up as a non-lucky hundo. Corresponding trades to me, not so much.
Oh, boo. But that's okay.
Second, I have the amazing talent of catching 100% IV Pokemon, but only a day or two after it's had its community day. Therefore, make me either use an Elite TM or wait to evolve to get its special charge move when it's available again. Just this past year, I caught 100% Bulbasaur, Mudkip, and Dino, all just a day or two after their community day.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's tragic, especially for, like, Dino.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
hurts. That
stinks.
I like the, there's a little more here, but I like the idea that you've caught it so recently to its community day that the Elite TM doesn't even unlock the move yet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Because it has like to be manually added. Yeah.
Somebody's got to throw the lever.
Yeah, it's very funny. Lastly, I have the very unique skill of catching Pokemon with very good PvP IVs, but only if the final evolution is above 1500 CP. Just imagine the joy of catching a rank 1 Sfeel on its community day, followed by the horror of realizing that if I evolve it to Walrein, it will clock in at around 1600 CP.
Oh.
As always, sorry for the long email, Drew 2. That's tragic.
I feel the pain. That is tragic. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, no. So I had a similar thing happen. I have a rank 1 Venusaur, but it's for Little Cup, so I'll never be able to use it. I don't know why I did that.
I kind of want to know, Drew, too, how your luck for Buzzwole went.
Oh, for your
under 1500 one. Did you get one of the, you know, 1449s where if you power it up once, it goes to 1501.
Dude, just you've been saying that out loud makes me cringe. Ugh.
We know that's happened to Tyler.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
It's great.
Just the woe. Just the woes.
Now, for this week's PokePoll, in honor of Fashion Week now past, what is the one avatar item you'd like to see added in Pokemon Go? All right, Chris, do you have an answer?
I did, and now I don't remember it.
All right, well, I've got an answer then.
Okay, please.
It can be taken two ways. One, as a new item slot for your hands, like holding something. Because I want them to add like a big inflatable Aegislash sword and shield.
Okay.
That'd be just like, I know it doesn't work with all of the poses and stuff like that, so it's not likely to happen, but maybe as a backpack or something.
Yeah,
that'd
I was
be
gonna
pretty
say,
cool.
I think it'd be cool as a backpack.
But it like might... even then it's a little bit difficult because like the sword is like stabbing into the bottom of the avatar. There's a way to do it. I just haven't figured it out yet. That's what I want to see.
That'd be pretty cool. I would love to see that too. I think more variety in back items would be pretty cool. I'm not saying like add a cape because that would be very strange for a trainer aesthetic, but I think like,
I mean,
being able to add stickers and stuff to backpacks and things like that, or pins or patches would be really, really cool. Even if it's per item and you have to buy an additional 10 Pokecoin thing to add like a Niantic patch or something to it. Like that'd be pretty cool to see more customization in that way, you know?
capes would still be cool.
Capes would be cool. Give me that Leon cape. Let's go.
Give me the Leon cape.
Do it, cowards. You won't. All right. Well, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's Pokeball question, which again is in honor of Fashion Week, now past, what is the one avatar item you'd love to see added in Pokemon Go? You can answer the question we posted on Twitter at GoCast Podcast. You can also answer it if you're a patron of ours in the Pokepoll channel that we have in the Discord. But you can always send us an email to mail at gocastpodcast.com. You can also leave us a voicemail to 262-586-7717. And before we get to any emails or voicemails this week, we're going to pass it on over to Fish and DeFi for another segment of PvP Corner. And this week, they're going to be covering a GBL Cup update, kind of where we're at. Upcoming play Pokemon events. There's one happening this weekend in Peoria, and the winner of the nickname contest. I know Kyle was a little bit personally upset that his choice did not win.
I am upset.
Yeah, it's fair. I think the winner was a good one, but I don't want to steal any thunder here, so let's just pass it over to the two of them.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Hater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP segment with a split evolution line. DeFi, what's going on in PvP?
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at what starts tomorrow as of this recording. We are recording on a Wednesday. Tomorrow is September 29th through October 6th. We have Open Master League and Master League Premier Classic. Remember, Premier Classic means no legendaries or mythicals and no Pokemon that have ever been powered up with XL candy. I'm really excited to see Master League Premier Classic back. I definitely want to dive into that tomorrow. We also have October 6th through the 13th, Open Master League, but then we have a great League Cup to go with it, the Evolution Cup. Also known as the Middle Child Cup, only Pokemon that have evolved at least once and can evolve again will be eligible. Not sure what Pokemon we're referring to? I've got you. Here is the PV Poke Top 10 Species. Number one, as it should be, as it always is Vigoroth.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, surprise! Vigoroth at the top of a meta.
Then we have Zhuilus, Hackamoho, Machoke, both the regular and the shadow version, Dragonair, both the regular and shadow version, Shadow Golbat, Dusclops XL, both shadow and regular, Charjabug, Celio, and Nidorina XL.
Again, Nidorina is above Nidorino. Girls getting it done.
Girls getting it done. Yeah, and Nidorina actually just benefited from a move update. Nidorino did too. So the female Nidorina got Thunderbolt. The male Nidorino got Ice Beam. But Nidorina benefits from having Poison Sting, Poison Fang, and Thunderbolt. Nidorino is going to use the Poison Jab, Horn Attack, and Ice Beam. So I think having that Poison Fang is really what benefits Nidorina the most.
I did not know Horn Attack was in the game.
It's not great.
I can imagine. Otherwise, it'd be in wider use.
Yeah. It's marked in PV Poke as a neutral spam slash bait.
Oh, it's a charge move.
Yes.
Okay. So it'd be low energy, but also low damage.
Horn Attack is a normal move. 40 damage, 35 energy. 1.14 DPE.
So that is like an ominous wind without the buff chance, I think.
Brick Break. It's Brick Break.
Ah, it's Brick Break. Yeah. I mean, Brick Break has had use. But
limited.
Limited use, yeah. But then, like, compared to Nidorino's other moves, I don't think Horn Attack's getting much play.
Correct. I mean, Poison Fang is also 40 and 35, but it has that defense drop.
Yeah.
That makes it a better move. So Poison Fang without the defense drop.
Poison Fang without the thing that makes Poison Fang any good.
That is exactly it. I think those are the only other 40-35s I see. Bone Club. So it's Bone Club, it's Brick Break.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's there. It exists. It's not great.
Yeah, just one thing to mention is that Shadow Golbat, which is up there, that's actually like easily one of the best counters to the Vigoroth because it's double resisting those counters and then just chipping away with wing attacks and poison fangs. Other good counters are things like Machoke or Hakamo-O, anything that resists the fighting. Nidorino / Nidorina, your poison grass razor leafers, like a Gloom and an Ivysaur, things like that.
All right, and then after Evolution Cup, one more week into the future, we're looking at October 13th through the 20th. We have Open Great League, Open Ultra League, and Open Master League. So all three open leagues for just one short week. So that's the distant future. Let's talk about the immediate future. Pretty soon, in just a couple short days, we have Go Battle Day Guzma, which is going to be on Saturday, October 1st, just a few short days away from this recording. It'll be during this week of Open Master League and Master League Premier Classic, so some incentive to play a little bit of Master League. It is 4 Dust Stardust from Win Rewards and 20 sets instead of your typical 5, so 100 battles in total. You'll get timed research available all day that includes XP, rare candy, and elite charge TM. And in research, you can get the watch and bracelet for your avatar, which is inspired by Guzma, the leader of Team Skull from Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. If you're already rank 20, you don't get another one. So I am almost at rank 20, so I don't think I'll need, I don't think I'll get one on Saturday. I should be able to hit rank 20 before then. I am very close.
All right, next up we have the Sylph Check-In, and Worlds is coming up Friday, September 30th to Thursday, October 13th. So it's a 2-week competition, DeFi.
Yes, and in that 2-week competition, 32 competitors have been invited to compete in the 2022 Sylph Arena World Championship. Alongside the 4 continental champions from each region, the remaining 28 seats are all filled by 12 of the top continental competitors. They looked at region and they looked at total number of competitors when they were deciding that. And they also chose 16 of the top ranking competitors of the Sylph Arena leaderboards from those same continental regions. In that first preliminary group stage, they will be battling round robin style in tournaments. And the meta is going to rotate between rounds, which is pretty crazy. Rounds 1, 2, and 3 are going to be Obsidian Cup, round 4 and 5 Glacial Cup, and round 6 and 7 Brawler Cup. So the world champion is going to have to be strong in a variety of metas. Then on Saturday, October 22nd, they're going to do a double elimination style finals. This is going to be a draft format, which is pretty cool, something different. So they're really kind of testing all different styles of competition. The cool thing, though, is the prizes. First place for the Sylph Arena Worlds gets $1,000 US, $200 US for second place, and third place still goes home with $100 US. PvP Steve is going to be hosting that double elimination finals on the Sylph Arena Twitch channel.
Next up, the Play Pokemon section, and there are 3 events coming up on September 30th to October 2nd. We have Peoria, Illinois, USA, and the casters have been announced for that one, DeFi.
They have. So casting this one is going to be Will Dunphy, a.k.a. Speediest Chief, Jim Lawson, a.k.a. Wholesome Underscore, Nick Livesey, which is a.k.a. Alpha Phoebe, Big Phoebe, and Steven Sanders, also known as 2-0 Butters. So we have some familiar faces casting the 2023 Peoria Regionals. Again, this is only going to be Pokemon Go and the trading card game. So it's a bit of a smaller tournament, but I'm hoping for some really exciting turnout, especially now that Toxapex is in the game and is legal for the tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be real interesting. Next up, on October 14th to 16th, we have Salt Lake City, Utah. And on October 22nd and 23rd, Lille, France. France gets their shot.
Speaking of competitions, we have our own competition that we hosted here at PvP Corner, the nickname contest. Last week, we narrowed it down to four of our top nicknames, and because Fish and I just could not pick one. They were all good, and we liked them all for different reasons. So we put it to you, the audience of PvP Corner, at least those who have a Twitter account, to make a vote, and you have decided... Blissey Elliott is our winner with 36.4% of the vote. Coming in very close second, though, was Pig Knight Shyamalan with 29.9% of the vote. We also had runners-up Kim Karzashian and Abe Klinken.
And, like, it was, I mean, I want to say first, narrowing it down to four was so painful as well. I would have rather had, like, seven, but Twitter... will only let you put four into a poll. Secondly, Blissey Elliott and Pig Knight Shyamalan were like one of those almost missed out. Like DeFi and I were talking about, like we were trying to narrow it down to four, and we threw in like Kim Karzashian and Abe Klinken. They were like, okay, now I think they're good. They get the golden ticket, and then for the third and fourth spot, we were like, okay, Blissey Elliott, Pig Knight Shyamalan. We're like debating back and forth, and they ended up both getting in, and happy for Nate Dogg, because that decision ended up getting them the win for the competition. So we will get in touch with them to organize their voucher.
We also want to shout out some late entries that didn't make it in time, but we thought were really fun. One is Han Solosis, which is a very fun nickname. I like that.
We also have Cinder Lauper, which was an adorable Cyndaquil, and Warren Warbuffett.
We also have a big announcement. Next week, Fish, marks our 2-year anniversary doing PvP Corner. I don't know where the time has gone whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean,
it surprised me when I looked at it, saw it on the calendar.
Yeah, I'm amazed by that. I have jobs that haven't lasted 2 years.
So what we would love from you, dear listeners, is to send in some voicemail, send in some emails for us to read. They can just be regular questions. They can be about the show or just questions you have for Fish and I, things you want to know about us, anything you want, maybe some favorite things you've heard this year. Please let us know. Send in your emails, please, by Wednesday. So Wednesday midday U.S. time. Let's do that. Wednesday midday U.S. time on October 5th.
And looking forward to hearing what everyone has to ask. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, congratulations on 2 years. Like, if you've got a question about PvP, we are like, absolutely, we're keen to answer your calls. So next up, we've got our shameless plugs. I want to give a shout out to the Palatown PvP YouTube channel. There's a fair bit going on there. We've got our weekly GBL breakdowns happening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Tuesday nights, breaking down the next limited GBL meta. We've got a trainer named Blepnir, who is posting really cool videos about kind of fringier Pokemon and how he's making them work in his GBL battles. And we've also got, I'll give a quick tease. I think this is all I'll give you. A very high level battler is working on something that he calls the Gen 1 Challenge, which I'm extremely excited to bring out to the world.
I like it. Very cool.
One other thing that I want to mention is I've mentioned on the podcast before another podcast named Roundtable Chatot with Shadow Prime and Old Johnny One Ball. A wonderful podcast. One that I... have only just, like, I've been wanting to listen to that regularly, like, put it into my regular listening list for a while, but my podcast app had trouble finding them. So I finally worked that out, and I'm listening to them again, and I have been struck by how generous they are with just shouting out other podcasts and communities that they like and listen to. So I wanted to do the same thing. It's inspired me. I wanted to just give a shout out to all of the other podcasts that I have listen to that are Pokemon Go related in order of PvP relevance, seeing as we are the PvP corner. So I want to give a shout out to the BTW podcast, the Battle Cats podcast with Caleb Peng and Speediest Chief, the Waylords podcast with Richard and Roldy, Roundtable Chatot, of course, Lured Up with Ken Pescator and Adam Tuttle, After Darkrai, and Wayspotters.
And with that, we love hearing your feedback. If you have questions or suggestions for Fish or for myself, please, especially for next week for our 2-year, please direct your feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send a voicemail. Chris always gives the voicemail number at the end of the show. In the show description, you can click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And with that, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Fish and DeFi, for yet another wonderful PvP Corner segment. Appreciate the two of you very much. All right, we are in another part of the show. You know, there's that thing where you walk through door frames and you kind of forget what you were doing. That's kind of how I feel when we come out of PvP Corner. Can you help me out? What are we doing?
It's time for emails.
Oh, that's right. And one voicemail. And the voicemail is from Sports/Hisuian Ryan. Let's spool it up.
Hey, Chris and Kyle. Hisuian Ryan here. Hope you guys are doing well. It's a beautiful Wednesday evening in New Mexico. Or maybe is it a beautiful Thursday morning now? It's past midnight a little bit. So anyways, hope you guys are doing all right. And just finished our grind on incense. I had an absolute blast. I think Niantic did just a really great job with this fashion week. Toxapex is really exciting. I beat Pokemon Sun with Toxapex, so it has a sort of a special place in my heart. And nice. I'm loving all the frillish. I'm still a couple hundred XL candies away from having Jellicent for Ultra League, so the grind is tough on that one, but I'm glad to see them nonetheless. And something I didn't really think about when I was reading the spawn list is how many good Pokemon there are for excellent throws. You know, I saw just in the past hour a bunch of Croagunk, and of course Burfrow and Gothita. Really easy to hit excellent throws on. So I think I'm gonna egg tomorrow and go grind on a couple of eggs and try to get a bunch of XP because getting close to level 44. So excited about that. But the exciting part of my walk is I caught a shiny Burfrow, so really excited for that. It's now in its dandy form and hatched a shiny Cleffa like 10 minutes later. So
wow.
I haven't had quite an exciting moment like that in a while, so really happy for that. I'm going to set some goals. I think it's my first time setting some like big official goals. I've set some light goals in the Discord, but I really want to grind this week. So I would like to hit 500,000 XP and build my first Master League team. I've never played in Master League, but there's a Go Battle Day for it on the 1st. So I would like to participate in that. And I happen to have a Shundo Togekiss, so I'm going to build that for sure. And then I'd like to shiny hunt Croagunk and Blitzle and Diglett. In their costumes. Of course, love the Diglett cat. I just said Diglett cat. I meant Diglett hat.
I would love a Diglett cat ears.
Diglett was one of my favorite Pokemon as a kid. Okay, I hope you guys are having a great fashion week as well. Bye for now.
Oh, man. Ryan's great.
Yeah. Also, I definitely did notice the catch circles for the fashion event. It was like, oh yeah, these are good.
Yep.
You have to think about that more when looking at event spawns.
Yeah, it's something that you don't really think about. You only really think about it when there's a Pokemon and you're like, oh, Magnemite and Zubat. Oh man, this stinks.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to catch those.
Right, right, exactly. But man, such shiny luck. Look at that. Mm-hmm. And then I actually just popped open Twitter and Ryan caught several other things, including a Hundo Litwick after that as well. So nice. Very, very nice.
Speaking of shiny luck, I didn't say it earlier, but I guess this is an appropriate time to share. I caught a shiny costumed Absol this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did.
I was really, really excited about
it. Yeah, you sent me a the picture of that so fast.
I was leaving work, and it was the first Absol I clicked on since the event started, and I actually screamed in my car.
Oh, in your car. I was like, you had to turn around and be like, sorry, everybody.
No, there was no one else there. I was alone in the parking lot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. It was after close too?
Yeah, it was after I was leaving for the day.
Just a man in an empty parking lot going, woo, woohoo! Just
yep, exactly.
What else but Pokemon Go? Anyway, thank you very much for the voicemail there, Ryan. Appreciate it and appreciate you.
First email starts. Sorry for the long email. Dearest podcast host of the GoatCast podcast, apologies in advance for the most longest of emails. I felt compelled to contact you this week incognito. I wish I could have sent a voicemail, but that defeats the purpose of being incognito. So this email will have to be a sufficient substitute. First, with episode 207, it made me quite happy that you remembered Gligar existed because Gligar is number 207 in the national decks.
Oh.
Seemed fitting. Ground flying, too strong. Secondly, oh yeah, here's the discussion.
Oh, here we go.
Earlier. I forgot. Secondly, what is Niantic thinking with these boxes? A free-to-play player used to be able to save up 30 days of gym coins for an ultra or an adventure box. Now, if they stick with the $22.99 price point, free-to-play players are no longer able to get 12 ultra boxes a year and are down to 7.9 boxes per year. Oh. This is scummy. In addition to the region-locked Ultra Beasts causes free-to-play players to spend on remote raid passes versus local passes. Well, I appreciate Niantic giving us the two daily raid passes this season. That's basically all the raids I can afford to do. I use 6 days of gym coins to get three remote raid passes to try and get the Cartana dex entry from Pokégenie raids. First raid, it ran. Second raid, it also ran. Oh. I luckily caught it on the third raid, but it made me miss the bonus balls for having a best friend in the raid with me. As someone in the Celesteela area, I wish I could have been able to host more of these, but the wormhole spawns are significantly lower than what a normal tier 5 raid would be. I'm seeing a lot more Mega Aggron. I'm trying to help that Pokégenie queue, but it doesn't seem attainable.
Jeez.
Side note, I love every time you bring Cook's Gravy onto the show. His voice is so relaxing. Also just brings a smile to my face when he opens that gorgeous front face hole. Recently, I just listened to the Whale Lords podcast and was shocked to see that you let Fish out of Palatine PvP Corner dungeon to go hang on another show. Highly recommend the episode. He was joined by another Aussie, Lachlan, who we love, also from Palatine PvP during that recording, and he mentioned the Wayspires podcast, and I was delighted to find that the Wayspires have had episodes with both DeFi-E and Fish, and more recently with Chris and Kyle. It felt like a super secret special bonus episode of GoCast.
Really quick on that. So Fish and DeFi, while they are members of our show, we established very early on that there was like no exclusivity with literally anything. So I know Fish has gone around on several different podcasts, and DeFi does a lot of streaming and a lot of shoutcasting and things like that too. So, you know, we're kind of all over the place. Their addition to this show is an anomaly that Kyle and I do not understand, because I've offered several times, like, hey, you guys want to set up a different podcast feed? They're like, no, we like doing the segment. Okay, if you don't have it every week, that's fine. You guys are doing this, you know, out of the goodness of your heart and your passion for it. And they're like, no, we're just going to do it every week regardless. They are more consistent than we are. So
yeah. See, we're kids pretending to be adults. I think Fish and DeFi, they're actually adults.
Right, exactly. So we appreciate them letting us drive the car. But, you know, their hands are hovering over the wheel.
To finish off the email, DeFi, it was amazing to witness you shoutcast over the weekend. I wish for you to keep getting these amazing opportunities.
Nice.
Chris and Kyle, hope one day to see you on Palatine PvP with Fish, maybe during a Go Battle Day for a fun hangout. I'd be sure to tune in. Fish, I love all the energy and love you're putting into Palatine PvP and can't wait to see it grow and bloom into a gorgeous community filled with lots of loving people. Again, sorry for the long email. XOXO Gossip Girl.
Now, that's another reference only like five people will get. Actually, that's probably more pervasive than the other one was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, this is all really, really nice feedback. Thank you so much for writing in, Gossip Girl. we'll make sure to let Mitch know your fondness for him. Yep.
Yep. And the boxes are still really bad, and they are especially egregious for the free-to-play perspective. No question.
Yeah, I didn't consider this math before, but this isn't the first time we had heard about it being if you do all of your coins, you get like one ultra box a month. And that seemed intentional. I'm sure it was at the time. So that means that they intentionally moved away from it.
It's very interesting because obviously with the different change in price point, they're affecting the value the items have. That's just kind of what happens. But from their perspective, they think raising the price point of the box will be more positively received than lowering what is in the box for the same price point. And with this adjustment going on for a free-to-play player, does it matter if you get 12 boxes that are worth 0.8 of what they used to be, or 8 boxes that are worth what they used to be but at a higher price?
So I mean, that value equation is actually worse than it appears from a flat, like on paper like this.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't know, it's that the $22.99 is so many poker coins that like I don't even care about spending money on the game, and I still don't want to spend money because that's a lot of coins.
I am still at the same point I was last episode, although I will say I said I wasn't going to spend any money in October or in September, and I ended up doing, I think, that evening some Cartana raids. I bought like a few passes, but my spending for this past month is it's a fraction of what it's been.
I think since the start of September, I've spent like $20, and I still have those coins. I have like 16. I have like 1,600 of them left.
That's not even the big box, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, I bought them for coins to buy remote raid passes, not to buy the boxes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I won't buy these boxes. They're really bad.
I think I'd rather probably just buy supers on their own.
Yeah. And that's not happening either because that's so expensive.
It is expensive. It's really not a smart choice if you're trying to be smart about it. But anyway, thank you so much for the email. Appreciate it. This next one was in the form of a text from Neek. I believe it's from last week. We also had a text message from Neek. All right, Kyle and Chris, here's another one. If you could decide one Pokemon that you wanted to have a community day for, it can be shiny, what Pokemon would you pick and why? I would personally pick Poiple. And a quick not-so-fun fact about Chandelure is that it can burn the spirit out of you. Then the spirit will be trapped, endlessly wandering. That's info from the Pokedex. Shiny Hundo vibes only, Neek. Okay, so
I love me some scary Pokemon Dex entries. That's good.
Right. Chandelure is great. Gengar is great. Drifloon is great. All the ghosts are fantastic. Phantump. Oh, geez. All right. So, Pokemon we want to see for Community Day, Kyle. What do you want?
Well, this may seem like a cop out because it's so recent, but Marini. I want a Marini Community Day. I want to catch all of them. And I want the shiny like in go now.
Yeah. I just, again, the base coloration of it is just so, so good that I'm okay waiting on the shiny for a little bit longer. I can appreciate the way it looks now. I really want a Scyther community day really badly. I want Hundos. I want a celebration of my green boy. I want Caesars. Yeah, man. Be so great. So, so great. They could do that if/when they bring Kleavor to the game. That'd be very interesting. Have like a split evolution community day. Would love that. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for the text message, Neek. And our last email is from Danny. Hey guys, I've recently started listening to this amazing podcast. Aw, thanks. You guys talk about your goals on every episode and have certain amounts of shinies to be caught. My question is, how is it possible to even come by a shiny? I play daily for about 40 minutes a day, and I only come by a shiny about once a month. Danny. All right. So, you know, this is a pretty good question. I feel like, you know, we every once in a while have to sort of readjust and reframe where we're coming from because we talk about this stuff in certain scenarios, and in a normal setting, they are not normal goals, right? So when we set shiny goals, that are like, you know, abnormally high, like a 20, 25 or something like that. Those are usually, actually, those are always corresponding with an event that has a boosted shiny rate, like a community day or a Go Fest.
Yes.
Yeah. So we won't set goals for like, I want to catch 10 shinies this week if there isn't, you know, anything that's modifying the shiny rate, I guess. That being said, the advice we've always given for people in the past, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, is just you have to catch a lot.
Yeah.
Full odd shinies is just a RNG.
It's a numbers issue. Game, really.
Yep.
Like, just for comparison, to give some understanding, every once in a while, Chris in particular will set like, I want to get a shiny this week. Just a shiny, doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, even a shiny once a week seems like a lot. To help put stuff in perspective, I have about 70,000 Pokemon caught, approximately. Chris has 140,000 Pokemon caught. And we are not even on the high end of people that we know with these kind of numbers. So when you hear someone talk about like, I caught this many things during this event, I made 10 million Stardust, you got to remember that those are the people who are like on the very, very, very far end of the bell curve.
Yeah.
And it's not common. It's just what you end up hearing people talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also important to remember that not all Pokemon can be shiny yet. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're counting those in your pool of how many Pokemon I've caught, then it's kind of a misnomer because you don't have the opportunity to begin with. Right. So that's the answer. Hopefully you can adjust your gameplay and focus more on that if you're looking to get shinies. And if not, honestly, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. And because you waited so long, it's going to be even that much better. Nothing beats having a shiny on screen. It's great. It's
really especially great. After like a dry spell. It's great.
Yeah, 100%. But thank you very much for the email, Danny. If you, dear listener, would like to send us an email like these fine folks did, you can to mail at gocastpodcast.com. If you'd like to send a voicemail in, you can do that by calling 262-586-7717. And here's something new this week. Kyle doesn't even know about this, but we have a P.O. box now. And the address will be shared in the show notes, and I will also have to update the website with it. But if you want to send us a letter or something, you can send it there. The dimensions of the box is 5 inches by 5.5 inches. So please don't send us like a pallet of bricks or something that wouldn't fit. Literally couldn't think of anything else. Why was that in my brain? Pallet of bricks.
I don't know.
Maybe that's just what's in my head right now is a pallet of bricks. Oh, geez. Anyway, you want to find out more about our show and everything else, you can visit our website at gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at gocastpodcast. And if you'd like to help support the show monetarily and get access to our Discord, you can via Patreon. That's patreon.com/gocastpodcast. And shout out to our elite trainer tier patrons. Thank you to Bo, Daniel, Andrew, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Ted, Tish, Ben, Marvin, and Mimi, Sforz, Orsui, and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brendan, Ethan, and Steven. Thank you so, so much for helping us keep the digital lights on. We appreciate you so very, very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if, you know, monetary support isn't in the cards for you, or you have already gone that route and are still looking for another way to help support the show, a free option is to leave us a review wherever you can leave a review on the podcast. 5 stars are, of course, great. But, you know, I'm not going to say you can't do the other ones. It would make me cry. I think Kyle would be okay, but I would be personally offended. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just leave a review wherever you can, and that's pretty much it. Okay, Kyle, we just got to set some goals, and then we're out of here. We're out of here, sir. We're recording again in like 3 days. We have this another situation where we can't really set any big, big, ooh, wow goals.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. Well, first, I want to take part in October 4th Spotlight Hour because it's XP Evolution. I can't forget that. It's very short noticed. I don't know if I have enough Pokemon tagged for that, but we'll see. Man, only 3 days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess in that case, because they're tied together, let's go with 500,000 Stardust because that shouldn't be a problem. I haven't done one in a long time, and Chris has coerced me, so I'll do at least one daily adventure incense. I think I haven't done one since like the second week it came out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Maybe like the third week. I think I was doing a couple a week at first.
I've done three full ones the past week, even though it's very funny. I said I didn't play very much. That was literally like the only stuff I was doing was, oh, I'm going to be taking this dog out for a walk. Let me do my adventure incense really quick. Nothing to write home about those 3 days. No Galarian birds, no impressive spawns, nothing really.
Yeah.
So
you really got to book it for those incense to get the spawns.
You know, I walked at a leisurely pace with a dog that was stopping to smell things every once in a while, and I got 22.
Really?
Yeah. 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 So something I saw on a video, this is a really weird hot tip to leave at the absolute end of the show, but I watched a video a little bit ago that brought to my attention that you can sometimes force refresh the overworld map by pulling open your friends list and reloading that over and over again. And so I found that I was, by doing that every once in a while, nothing definitive because it's kind of like a gray area wonky sort of practice to do that, you know, but it appears to have given me the spawns quicker instead of waiting for them to refresh. And that spawn had already been there for a while, therefore sometimes missing them if I move too quickly. Right. So,
okay.
It's a little hot tip. I don't know, you know, 100% if that works, but it seems I had better results doing it. Yep. But for me, my goals for the week, it's going to be one shiny. Doesn't matter what it is for the next like 2 days. I'm going to try to catch up on catching, I suppose. 500,000 experience. I've got a couple of best friends coming along. I should be able to do that in a few days. And one complete daily adventure incense as well, because I can't make Kyle do it if I'm not willing to do it myself. And that's going to be it. Thanks so much for listening all the way through, dear listener. That's the end of episode 209. And we'll see you next week for episode 210. Until then, shiny vibes. Have fun with the end of Fashion Week, which I believe will be done by the time you've heard this. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.